service on Sunday, and boy, that's a blessing. That what a blessed day we had on Sunday, and be able to thank the Lord. And then Brother Ryan preached a good message to us Sunday night, and what a good time. That was a good thing. The Lord's been good to our church, like Ryan was saying about different messages and different preachers that we've had come by. And Brother Mark's setting up right now to try to have, we're trying to have a mini revival in January and have some of the boys that have been part of this church come back and preach for us. And so we'll know more when we can get the dates nailed down in January. And but take your Bibles tonight. Let's look at Zechariah. I want to show you something. This something to think about. And I've always thought this is strange, but I've told you this in the book of all the way through the Old Testament, New Testament. The day that God's looking forward to is the day when his son has his rightful place. That's the day when God's looking forward to. And God's looking forward when his son's sitting on the throne. And when you read the Old Testament, it to the day on Jacob's trouble, talks about that. Jacob's trouble, it talks about when, in some places in the Old Testament, in one verse, you'll have a double application. You'll have 2,000 years in one verse or more. You'll have that right there in a double application. And the Bible is one of the wildest books there is. And Quran, people talk about the Quran. The Quran ain't nothing. It's nothing. I mean, the Quran has nothing in it. And so these people that talk about the Quran being such a great prophetic book, and even the Book of Mormons, they all had a Bible that they could go from. As they read the Bible, they would read, you know, they would add some things from the Bible into their little their book, and try to give it some kind of authority, and because there's authority in the Word of God. And as we read the Word of God, as you study the Word of God, it's wild how the Lord puts it all together and all comes out and feeds to that one place, and it talks about the Lord coming back, and it just it's wild how it comes together. And I love the book. I love the Bible. I love reading stuff that some of the things you say, do you understand it all? No, I don't. I don't. As I teach the Bible, I try to compare Scripture with Scripture. And that's what you're supposed to do, compare Scripture with Scripture. See if something over here matches something over here. And then you read the Old Testament, you'll read some things, and it'll match the New Testament. And now, Zechariah chapter 11, let's read this. And Zechariah 11, and this is wild stuff. You're trying to figure out some things that's going on. And I'm looking at all this stuff happening in the world. I always try to see what's going on in world events. I want to see what's going on. I want to see what's going on with Israel. I like to see what's happening in Egypt. I like to see what's happening with Russia. I like to see, you know, just try to keep up world events. And you know, I try to find world news all the time, not just what CBS, NBC, and all that. I try to find other world news. I try to find Israeli news if I can. And I try to read magazines and missionaries, what's going on in Israel. And Israel, it's wild how right-wing, they say right-wing Jews, they're wanting to go up on the Temple Mount. And I was reading about a lady the other day. She said she went up, she didn't realize she was always at the Wailing Wall. And she said, when I finally got to go up on the Temple Mount and walked across that, knowing that my God, my and the kings in the past, David, others that were on top of this Temple Mount. And the Muslims control that Temple Mount. And they don't want no Jews. They had women that were Muslim women. They were there day in, day out to harass and heckle Jews and Christians or anybody that come up on that Temple Mount. So then they pushed them. They couldn't make them leave the Temple Mount, but they pushed them over to a gate as the people were leaving. But they would throw stones, anybody goes up on that Temple Mount, especially Jews, they'll start throwing stones at them and stuff. And the Muslims, they say, well, this is our holy site, but their holy site is in Mecca, supposedly, their holy site. And you find that, you know, people get trampled to death in Mecca, and they get all kinds. So Muslims, they want to control the whole Middle East. And the Antichrist is going to come, and he's going to have power, and he's going to do all these things that try to control that. But I look for even in Donald Trump's cabinet about Jews. Now, his son-in-law, his son-in-law, he just appointed him I forget what it was, but he's a Jew. And I'm always looking at that stuff, and the Jews is what helped Donald Trump, too, because Donald Trump said this. I hope he keeps his word. He said that when he became president, he was going to allow America's embassy move to Jerusalem. Now, George Bush said that. So did Clinton say that. Now, Obama never said that. He never said it one time. But some of the presidents before them said that they would move our embassy to Jerusalem. That would give legitimacy to the Jewish capital, saying we believe the Jewish people, and they're having their capital be in Jerusalem. Islam doesn't want that to happen. They don't want them, but the Jews knew that, so the Jews, they've already made Jerusalem their capital, whether the rest of the world wanted it or not. The rest of the world protests against it. And this thing, when I watch this stuff about what's going on with the Jews and all that stuff, and I like to, I want to keep up with it. But let's look at chapter 11 of Zechariah. As the open thy doors, O Lebanon, let the fire may devour thy cedars. How fir trees and the cedar is fallen, because the mighty are spoiled. How, O ye oaks of Bashan? And it says, for the forest of the vintage is come down. There is a voice of howling of the shepherds, for their glory is spoiled. A voice of a roaring of young lions, for the pride of Jordan is spoiled. For thus saith my God, feed the flock of the slaughter, whose possessors slay them, and hold them not guilty. And they shall sell them, and say, blessed be the Lord, for I am rich, and their own shepherds pity them not. I will no more pity the inhabitants of the land, saith the Lord. But lo, I will deliver the men, every one, into his neighbor's hand, into the hand of his king, and they shall smite the land, and out of their hand I will not deliver them. I will feed the flock of slaughter, even you, O poor of the flock, and I took unto me two staves, and one I called beauty, and the other I called bands, and I fed the flock. Three shepherds also I cut off in one month, and my soul loathed them, and their soul also abhorred me. Then said I will not feed you that you die, that dieth. Let it die, and that is to be cut off. Let it be cut off, and let the rest eat there everyone the flesh of another. And I took my staff, even beauty, and cut it asunder, that I might break my covenant which I have made with all the people. And it was broken in that day. And so the poor of the flock that weighed upon me knew that it was the word of the Lord. And this is something, prophecy about Messiah and about the Lord coming back and Messiah being rejected and the Lord coming. And it says, and it was broken in that day. And so the poor of the flock that waited upon me knew that it was not the word of the Lord. And I said unto them, if you think good, give me my price. And this is a prophecy about Judas right here. He says, I said unto them, if you think good, give me my price. If not, forbear. So they weighed for my price 30 pieces of silver. And the Lord said unto me, cast it unto the potter, a goodly price that I was prize of that out of them. And I took the 30 pieces of silver and cast them to the potter in the house of the Lord. And that was Judas. Then I cut asunder mine other staff, even bands, that I might break the brotherhood between Judah and Israel. And the Lord said unto me, take unto thee yet instruments of the foolish shepherd. For lo, I will raise up a shepherd in the land, which shall not visit those that be cut off, neither shall seek the young ones, nor heal that which is broken, nor feed that standeth still. But he shall eat the flesh of the fat and tear their claws in pieces. Woe to the idle shepherd. This is talking about the Antichrist. Woe to the idle shepherd that leaveth the flock. It's connected with Judas. Back there in verse 11, 12, and 13, and it's connected with Judas. Woe to the idle shepherd. And that's why Jesus Christ called Judas. He said he called him the son of perdition. He called him the son of perdition. And the Bible talks about the Antichrist coming, called the son of perdition. And he says, woe to the idle shepherd that leaveth the flock. The sword, now check this out. The sword shall be upon his arm and upon his right eye. His arm shall be clean dried up, and his right eye shall be utterly darkened. And this thing is talking about the Antichrist and that so on. But look, chapter 12. And the burden of the word of the Lord for Israel, saith the Lord, which stretched out, stretched forth the heavens and laid the foundations of the earth and formed the spirit of man within him. See that thing? God put the spirit. Every man has a body, soul, and spirit. You have a spirit. He said, I formed the spirit of man within him. And it says, behold, I will make Jerusalem a cup of trembling unto all people round about. For they shall be in the siege both against Judah and against Jerusalem. And the Lord's telling the prophecy, this is Revelation. They're going to be sieging against Jerusalem. You say, what would happen? What would cause this to happen? Now, the rapture's got to take place. The Lord's got to come back and take his church out of here. And then the Antichrist will come in, the idol shepherd. And the Bible says that he's going to be wounded and wounded on the death, and he's going to betray the people. He's called the idol shepherd. He'll cut them asunder. He'll rip them to pieces. He'll rip the Jews to pieces. And it says, behold, I will make Jerusalem a cup of trembling on all people round about when they shall be in the siege both against Judah and against Jerusalem. In that day will I make Jerusalem a burdensome stone for all people, and all that burden themselves with it shall be cut in pieces, though all the people of the earth be gathered together against it. Everybody that's tried to bring peace with the Jews and the Palestinians, they've haven't succeeded. None of them have. And I think, I don't know how many times it's been tried. Donald Trump says he believes he might be able to bring, because his son-in-law. But I doubt it. I doubt that's going to happen, because this is a prophecy of the future. And it says, in that day, saith the Lord, I will smite every horse with astonishment, his rider with madness, and I will open mine eyes upon the house of Judah, and will smite every horse of the people with blindness, just like he did with Paul. And the horse is indicating coming into battle. And he said, the governors of Judah shall say in their heart, the inhabitants of Jerusalem shall be my strength in the Lord of hosts, their God. In that day will I make the governors of Judah like the hearth of a fire among the wood, and like a torch of fire in a sheath. And they shall devour all the people round about, on the right hand and on the left. I was reading about the Six-Day War. In the Six-Day War, the Jews were outnumbered, I think, 100-1. And they won the war in 6 days because God intervened. And they were outnumbered tanks. I've read the tanks, they were outnumbered 30-40-1. And they were outnumbered. And God intervened. And what happened one day when the Bible talks about when the Lord's going to come back and it's called the Battle of Armageddon, the Lord's going to intervene. He's going to intervene in this battle. In that day will I make the governors of Judah, like a verse 6, like a hearth of fire among the wood and like a torch of fire in the sheath. And they shall devour all the people round about and on the right hand and on the left. And Jerusalem shall be inhabited again in her own place, even in Jerusalem. It's so important that Donald Trump keeps his word. It's so important that he says we're going to recognize Jerusalem as the capital. It's so important. If he wants God's blessing, and he better do what he says he's going to do, and we better pray he does. And because God says Jerusalem is that, you know, he has his eye on Jerusalem. Let's read on down. And it says, verse 7, the Lord also shall save the tents of Judah first, and the glory of the house of David and the glory of the inhabitants of Jerusalem do not magnify themselves against Judah. In that day shall the Lord defend the inhabitants of what? Jerusalem. And he that is a feeble among them at that day shall be as David. The Lord says, I'm going to make those people that they're just so feeble, they're going to be just like David. David was, you know, they said about David, Saul has killed 1,000s, but David is 10,000s. He said, I'm going to make them like David, the feeble. And he that is the feeble among them at that day shall be as David, and the house of David shall be as God, as the angel of the Lord before them. And it shall come to pass in that day that I will seek to destroy all the nations that come against, where? Jerusalem. Jerusalem is very important. Very important. And the world better recognize that The Lord's got his hand on that place. And Doc wrote, he wrote a book a while back called A Deadly Piece of Dirt. And that thing, it gives you all the details of what's happening with Jerusalem and what so many wars have been fought over Jerusalem. And God's going to defend Jerusalem. And boy, he's got his hand upon it. And David paid for where the Temple Mount is. David bought that. Now, the Muslims claim they own it. They don't own it. David paid for it. Amen. David bought it. And if you read your Bible, you find over there, and I think it's in 2 Samuel, where David bought that thing. And David paid, he paid for it, and they were going to give it to him. He said, I'll give it to you. And David said, no, man, no, I'll pay for it. So David did. He paid for it and bought it with a price. Now, let's go back to chapter 5 of Zechariah. I'm going to read this to you. This is what I want you to see, too. And this is the only time you find women angels in the Bible. Only time. And other times, all the angels show up, they're all male, but that's not saying there ain't no women angel. The Bible calls us the sons of God. Now, I believe this. I believe that we're all going to be the sons of God. I believe that. And the only time the women angels show up, and the only reason God made a woman was to be made the woman for the multiply. To give man a helpmeet and to be multiplied. And we will be just like Jesus Christ. My mother used to always say, boy, I wish I was a man for 5 minutes because I want to beat some people up, you know. And but maybe she might make you have her wish. But Zechariah chapter 5, now that's not saying women don't go to heaven. Don't think that. That's not what I'm saying. Women are like the Lord. And like I said this before in Sunday school, before I get myself in trouble, I said this in Sunday school, we're the bride of Christ. I'm the bride of Christ. Every male in here, you're part of the bride of Christ. And that was hard for me to grasp, man. At first, when I first got saved, I said, I'm not female. I'm not. But see, I'm thinking in the physical sense. We're not talking spirit. We're talking spiritual. Amen. We're not talking in the physical sense. We thinking in the physical sense, we're male and female. The angels. But here, look at this thing. And this thing has to do with Shinar. And Shinar is Babylon. And it's in Babylon. And that's where, in Genesis chapter 10, when they built this this Tower of Babel, it was in Shinar. And this thing happened, and this thing, whatever it is wickedness that's being taken to Shinar and set upon her place. And the Bible, I thought about this thing about what the Bible says here in Shinar. It talks about where the devil has a place upon this planet. He's going to have a place. Now look at this. Zechariah chapter 5. Zechariah is a wild book. It's wild. Then I turned and lifted up mine eyes and behold, and looked and behold a flying roll. And this thing, this flying roll gives you dimensions of it. He said unto me, what seest thou? And I answered, I see a flying roll. The length thereof 20 cubits and the breadth thereof is 10 cubits. So it's 30 feet by 15 feet, whatever the thing is. It's 30 feet by 15 feet. Then he said unto me, this is the curse that goeth forth over the face of the whole earth. Whatever it is, 30 feet by 15 feet, it's a curse. And it's flying. It flies over the earth. For everyone that stealeth shall be cut off as on this side according to it. So wherever the thing flies, people that steal, it says it's going to be a person that steals is going to be cut off. And everyone that sweareth shall be cut off as on this that side according to it. So this thing's flying, and the thing's got it's a curse, and it's 30 feet by 15 feet. And I will bring it forth, verse 4, saith the Lord of hosts, and it shall enter into the house of the thief. Wow. This thing's going to enter into a house of the thief. And into the house of him that sweareth falsely by my name, and it shall remain in the midst of his house. It's a curse. I said this, the Ryman family had a curse on it. When I got saved, it broke the curse. The Ryman family had a curse. My father was, all kinds of mess was going on, the drinking, the carrying on, all that stuff. And there was a curse that went along with our family. And this thing, whatever it is, is 30 feet by 15 feet. And it's getting carried by something, but it goes to the land of Shinar. And it shall remain in the midst of this house. I'm reading this last so you can think about it all night. And it shall consume it with the timbers thereof and the stones thereof. So everything that touches, it consumes and it curses. Then the angel that talked with me went forth and said unto me, lift up now thine eyes and see what is this that goeth forth. And I said, what is it? And he said, this is the ephod that goeth forth. Ephod is what the priest, the high priest had. And he could carry and come in before God, and he would come before the Lord with it, and the thing would light up, and he would talk to God. And he said, this is the ephod that goeth forth. He said, moreover, this is there in resemblance through all the earth. Behold, there was lifted up a talent of lead. Now, lead is in bullets. He said, man, lead shoots out bullets, you know, or bullets shoot out lead, that kind of thing. So it says, it's a talent of lead in it. And behold, and you know, brass in the Bible is judgment. Gold is faith. Silver is something, I'll think of it in a minute. And the stars and, emeralds and all that stuff represents things, represents crowns in the crown. And behold, there was lifted up a talent of lead, and this is the woman that sitteth in the midst of the ephod. It almost reminds me of Revelation, go to Revelation 18. I told you I was going to get you out of early, but Revelation 17. So right above our heads, there's a spirit world going on. And matter of fact, the spirit world is all around us. And you can't see it. But if you notice somebody gets on drugs and they mess with something, if they're drinking, they get so messed up, they can see things they shouldn't see. And they'll see unclean spirits. I had a friend of mine who was doing some acid. He would see black hooded men floating in the air. He would see that stuff. He said, man, he was just flipping out. He was seeing something that he was in a realm that he shouldn't have been. And you can get in a realm of where you shouldn't be. And there's a spirit world around us. And it influences man. It influences us. But see, the Bible says, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. So we've got an angel Lord encamped around about them that fear him and delivers them. That's why it's important to fellowship with God on a daily basis. Because your mind, you're constantly getting stuff whispered in your head. You're constantly getting whispered by something. And maybe it's your flesh, but I know there's a spirit world. And people, they really don't understand the spirit world. The Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So this Christian life is like a fighting match. And if you got to prepare yourself on a daily basis to fight against the spirits that whisper in your head. And you got, we've seen the old cartoons of Bugs Bunny and all that. Bugs Bunny has a guy on this side and a guy on this side. One of them's a devil, one's an angel. Telling him, don't do that. The other guy's saying, do it. And that's the way the spirit world is. And the spirit world is always something trying to tell you to do something wrong. Always trying to tell you to feel sorry for yourself. Always trying to tell you everybody's against you. Nobody loves you. Nobody cares. All that kind of stuff all the time. All this goes on. But here, this thing, whatever it is, it's a woman in a basket. She gets caught up, and these two angels, stork angels, pick her up and take her to the land of Shinar. But this thing's connected with Babylon, but it's also connected with Rome. It's connected together. So that's why the Antichrist, when he shows up, he'll be part Syrian, and he'll be part Jewish, but he'll have the Catholic influence. The false prophet would be the Roman church. But look at this, Revelation 17. So what I said, when you study the Bible, you try to compare things. You go, man, that almost matches over here. It's similar to it, but it doesn't match completely, but it's similar. So you study your Bible, and you kind of compare scripture with scripture. And then it says in chapter 17 of Revelation, there came one of the seven angels with the seven vials, which had the seven vials, and talked with me, saying unto me, come hither, and I will show thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters, and the waters of people. with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have made themselves drunk with the wine of her fornication. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and 10 horns. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet colored, decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand, full of the abominations and filthiness of her fornication. And now here it is, verse 5. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery Babylon, the Great, the mother of harlots, the abomination of the earth. So if you Google, say you take your phone and say, Google Shinar, it'll say Babylon. Babylon. It calls this woman where she's at, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots. So it's connected. So you got Islam and Romanism and all this going to get connected. It's all going to get connected. So let's go back to Zechariah. I got to quit. Got to quit here. Verse 6, and I said, what is this? And he said, this is the ephod that goeth forth. He said, moreover, this is their resemblance to all the earth. And behold, there was lifted up a talent of lead. And this is the woman that sitteth in the midst of the ephod. And he said, this is wickedness. And he cast it into the midst of the ephod. And he cast the weight of the lead upon the mouth thereof. The lead. That lead has something to do with something that thing produces. It produces things. Half something. Man, half something. And look at verse 9. Then lifted up mine eyes and looked, and behold, there came out two women. And the wind was in their wings, so they had wings like the wings of a stork. And they lifted up the ephod between the earth and heaven. And then said I to the angel that talked with me, whither do these bear the ephod? And he said unto me, to build in a house in the land of Shinar. And it shall be established and set there upon her own base. That own base. You know, we call our military places that around the world, we call them, even in America, we call it our base, military base. So this thing has got a base, and it's in the land of Shinar. And you compare that with Revelation, and it's almost like the unholy trinity is coming together. And that's what's happening. But back in about Jerusalem, the whole thing is they want to take Jerusalem and make that their base. They want to make Jerusalem the base. God says, no, that's mine. You ain't going to have that. And they try to. And then they try in Revelation 19 to come and destroy the place. And God comes down and fights against them. All right, that's enough of that. Make you think for a little while. We'll take up some quick prayer requests. Amen. Yes, sir, Brother Mike.